Hola, I'm Claudia Romo Edelman.
And I'm Cynthia Kleinbaum-Milner.
And this is a podcast, A la Latina.
The playbook to succeed being your authentic self.
In this episode, we have Maria Salcedo, Senior Vice President Merchandising at Ulta Beauty.
The three key takeaways you're going to get are, number one, it has been proven that non-native speakers are better at making decisions.
Number two, you're going to learn how beauty is ingrained in the Latina culture and how the purchasing power of Latinas is essential for the growth of any company in the beauty industry.
And number three, how getting an MBA is an investment you should consider to propel you to the C-suite.
This and more here, A la Latina.
Stick around.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you hear those words, you can feel good knowing that. State Farm is there to help you feel supported with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. Now, let me tell you, girl, I don't got a boat, a motorcycle, or an RV, but State Farm covers my home and my car. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help protect your future by helping you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And you know what? Getting insurance can be so intimidating because you don't know exactly what you need. So having an agent that could help you with each step makes it so much easier. Girl, I feel you on that. So when things get complicated and you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too. Maybe you like to handle things in person or on the phone with your local agent, or you prefer to do it on statefarm.com or on the award-winning app. State Farm lets you do things your way. I personally am the type of gal that likes to do things through an app. It just makes it more easier than going in person or hopping on a call. So I love that they have that option available. Girl, I like to use an app too. I'm not trying to pull up in person or a call because I have too much social anxiety for that. I'm trying to do it on the app. So that's why I'm here with State Farm. And that is why, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. I'm a small business owner, and I believe that this is a great tool for other small business owners. In small businesses, you need to create a team. And if you're starting by yourself, Constant Contact can be the team that you need. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by the 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Welcome again to season two. We're so excited to be back.
We have with us Maria Salcedo. She's the Senior Vice President of Merchandising from Ulta Beauty.
She's also a board member at Step Up, a mentorship non-for-profit providing structure for girls.
She's from Colombia, an engineer by training, and she's a Wharton MBA.
Maria, we couldn't be more excited to kick off season two with you.
Claudia, Cynthia, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
We want to start with getting to know you a little bit more, like who you are, what you do, and what brought you to be where you are and what you're doing today.
Lovely. So as you know, and as you mentioned, I'm originally from Colombia.
Whereabouts?
I was Bogota. I was born and raised in Colombia in kind of like a traditional family. I'm the oldest of three. I have a younger sister and a younger brother, and my parents, they were very young. They had me when they were 20. So that creates like a unique dynamic in that sense. But traditional kind of like upbringing in Bogota, close-knit family, always spending time with the family, and fortunately having many, many wonderful opportunities to live and breathe in that amazing, amazing country. And you know how important your upbringing is and how it shapes you kind of like as you grow up.
Were your parents, did both of them work? Like, where is your work ethic coming from?
So that comes like from a long line, even before my parents. My dad studied economics and he was a very successful businessman working in CPG all of his life, and my mother is a doctor. I probably have like a unique story in that sense that my grandmother on my mother's side, she went to college. She actually went to college here in the U.S. Both my grandparents on that side went to college in the U.S. So that is kind of like unique in that sense. So how it had shaped me and how it's a little bit different is that I come from a long line of working women. And that was slightly different from kind of like the norm, even of like my friends, right? I had many of my friends, their mothers were not necessarily working, and many of them were college educated, but that's not the norm, especially when you go back to like your grandparents, were they all able to go to college? That's not necessarily the norm. So that created a different kind of like view for me. And when I think about it, I wasn't necessarily aware of it. It was just how it was.
Las mujeres de tu casa.
Las
like
mujeres.
the strong women of your whole household.
Always.
I don't know if this is how you experienced it. Tell me if it's similar to my experience, which is in my family, I had couples where the woman worked and couples where the woman didn't work. And the relationship that I saw of the couple was different. And I kind of always wanted to be in that couple that both people work and that there's some level of equality.
100%. I think the relationships are different and I even see it, for example, in the way my dad contributed to the household, mm-hmm. vis-a-vis kind of like a more traditional role of the breadgiver. Like my mother is a doctor, so she was, and I shared that they got married when they were really young. So kind of like my mother was still going to school and finishing all of her years and years of studying medicine mm-hmm. when I was young. So we would go grocery shopping with my dad. And my dad took on many roles that were not traditional for kind of like the male bread maker in the household. So that created a different relationship. I value it a lot because I saw a lot of partnership. I saw a lot of support. I saw how both careers were very important and how each one tried to make kind of like trade-offs to support the other one. I never saw at one point one or the other becoming more important, and it was just a really strong team effort. And within that, I think then my dad kind of like raised me and my sister thinking that we could do anything.
Yeah. I guess this is a message to all the ala Latinos, to the partners of our ala Latinas. The only way that we can get to the top is if we have a partner that enables us and that supports us in our journey.
Also, something that we have heard a lot is the relevance of an MBA. Can you talk about that and how transformative that was for you?
Yes. I think it's one of the most transformative experiences I've had in my professional career. I think you...
Me too.
Right? In general development. A couple of things that are unique and that maybe have different angles for us moving into the country to pursue it. So the full-time nature of it, the immersion, right? Like after having worked for some years, that gives you and shapes your mind differently, your perspectives differently. So the focus that you can give at that point in your life to education is different than what you've given in the past in high school or undergrad, where you're more like, I have to do these things. And then you find more application. Dedicating 2 years of your life to that, it's a big investment. And it's a big, big trade-off.
Not only time, but also money-wise.
Correct. Like, because then you're not like, making income for 2 years.
Yeah. And also the fees.
And then you're paying. Exactly. Yes. So it's like
traveling fees.
Very expensive endeavor. I remember telling my dad, it's like more money than I've ever seen in my life together, like what I'm investing in this, but it's a big bet. for me, it was also knowing that I was going to be having access to these professors that in many cases are like the ones that are leading the thinking, that are writing the books, that are being nominated for Nobel Prizes. Like, it's such an unique experience that if you're ever able to think about an MBA, I think it's worthwhile the consideration.
It's about the network that you create, that you can then literally pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm looking at this job. I know you work in that company. Can you help me get in front of the hiring manager? Can you tell me how does the interview process go? It's really about the network that you can only create if you go in person and you immerse yourself in 2 years of really intense like studies. And I was making a joke about traveling, but there's a lot of traveling in the MBA. And that's how you create real friendships where people care about each other. So I think what we need is we need to get more Latinas to think.
Make the bet.
I'm going to take 2 years off of my career and I'm going to invest in this because I know that after this, I'm going to be able to pay it back. And I'm going to be making more money than my peers that didn't go to the MBA. That's going to leap forward.
Let's assume that's the case. Let's assume that we should not create Harvard Business School for Latinos and that we need Latinas to make the big bet. We need companies to support them. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we need universities to be, you know, like welcoming. Mm-hmm. And I think that the three elements are ready for now.
Yeah.
What's the application process? Yeah. How do we guide people?
I'm just thinking out loud because you're triggering so many good thoughts. But for example, what if there were like Step Up version 2, right? Like the follow-up program that it actually has the structure to support exactly that. I did a lot of research when I was applying for an MBA, and you have to do some research and you have to work. And if you have somebody helping you and guiding you, it's great. Like identifying the different tiers of schools, the different strengths of the school. What would I get? What kind of focus will I get in this school versus this other? What kind of learning program, right? Like case-based or more academic based, what do I want from that? Then going into the application process, which is usually a mix of standardized tests, although those are being sometimes phased out, interviews, recommendations, and grades and essays. Exactly. Like, so those kind of like five and working through those. And then there obviously you have to have a strategy of like, what am I showcasing here? What is like my angle, right? Like, what is my differentiation? So I do think I do think that actually like having maybe that for Latinos, like that support, not a special program, but a special
training
of how to apply
the playbook,
can be exactly, because there is just like some savviness about how to navigate the system and how to play the game, showcasing your strengths to kind of like put you in the best light.
Okay, so we'll make the playbook for like how to
MBAs.
Apply to an MBA.
Yes.
The most important thing is apply to the MBA. You know, like the el no ya lo tienes. Ileana Musa said that. I think a lot of people
know what the answer or the outcome is going to be if you don't apply, right?
Exactly. So, yeah. Okay, let's move on from the MBA. Can you talk to us about your early career after your MBA? Why did you go to McKinsey? What did you learn there? I think then you went to Pepsi and then to Alta?
And then to Alta, correct, yes. There are very practical reasons, and then there are also some that are a little bit more intentional in terms of my career. When I came to the U.S., I came on a student visa, right? Mm-hmm. And that is one of the aspects of why an MBA was also made sense for me, is that if I ever wanted to work in the U.S., one kind of like straightforward way to do so is through an MBA and then entering the workforce, because that's how you can get a visa sponsorship. So that was critical
and a
natural.
I went to BCG, which is like another consulting firm.
I wanted to work in CPG. Well, lo and behold, I get here to the US and those companies are not traditionally sponsors of visas. Mm-hmm. So when they go to recruiting to campus, which is amazing, and I was like, all there, like Victoria's Secret. Like I remember all of the ones that I would get super excited and they were like, we don't sponsor international students. And I was like, okay. So I very quickly figured out.
I know.
It is. That is another, that can be like another thing of all the notes that we're taking today. That is like those recruiting programs. And then that's why you get industries where the initial pool is much more diverse. And those are investment banks, private equity, mm-hmm. consulting that tend to just look for talent and that they've adopted and built into their, I don't know, let's call it the cost structure of their talent and said, you know what, if we want the best talent out there, if we want diverse talent, we need to sponsor visas. So that's how you and I, right, rightfully so, ended up in McKinsey and BCG.
I think now tech companies do it. I think Facebook, Google, but it used to be that really you had like 3-4 options.
So. Yes. Yeah. So I forgot that you and I shared exactly that. So that narrowed my choices. So I was like, okay, do I do investment banking? Do I do private equity? Do I do consulting? And if you think about what I already said, like what I wanted to be close to the consumer, general management, business management, McKinsey was obviously consulting was the most straightforward. So that's the mix of like practical decisions, which was getting a visa sponsorship versus like more intentional of like, this is the field that interests me and that this is much more aligned. McKinsey ended up being one of the best decisions that I've made in my life. And it was basically a continuation of the MBA, working with an amazing, incredibly smart group of people, putting you in situations completely out of your comfort zone from day one. Working like, yeah, that's like another part.
I think it's changed too.
But in general, it has evolved the work-life balance has become more predominant, which I think... it was like, I remember one time being talking about like, oh, with my husband, who was also a consultant, like if we can get our lives and we can get to like only working 80 hours a week or maybe between 180, like, that will be life changing because we were working just crazy hours.
Right. So I don't know that all our audience knows what the consulting industry is. So if you can give them both a little bit of insight into what it is and also for whom is it a good decision to start their career in consulting?
Yeah, so there are different types of consulting firms, but as the word implies, it's a group of people that help advise companies on different projects, on different questions, developing strategies. So because of that, a consultant has to become kind of like very well versed on many different industries and many different types of projects, working with different clients, but they don't necessarily see the work through to implementation or execution, right? With that, consulting allows you to be as broad as you want or as narrow as you want. You can become an expert in, I don't know, supply chain implementation or a specific type of transformation project, or you can stay very generalist in terms of strategic thinking for companies and help companies with specific problem solving. I do think I'm an engineer by training, so I do think that that helped kind of like organize my brain, and then consulting just really turbocharged that with a ton of structure and frameworks that you can apply just to any question.
Don't you use them now? Like I use my frameworks every single day.
Every single day, I use what I learned at McKinsey, and it was great. You also learn a lot of partnership and organizational navigation because you're working with clients, executive presence because you just graduated, you have no idea what you're doing, and they throw you in with a client and the CEO of a company and you have to pretend like you're an expert. Yeah. So you also like get acting. A lot
yeah.
of like,
yeah, yeah. Yes.
Listen up, Latinas. In a world where your financial strength is your superpower, Money Lion is a sidekick you didn't know you needed. With top-notch tools and wisdom at your fingertips, it's time to take control and navigate the money maze like a pro. Whether you're saving for that dream vacay or launching your next big venture, MoneyLion is here to back you up. Dive in at MoneyLion.com or download the MoneyLion app. Juntas podemos lograr todo.
Are you ready to turn your best ideas into a thriving online business?
Introducing Shopify, your no excuses business partner. You might not realize, but our podcast, More Than Mammies, it's a business. And we started it, of course, to talk about maternity, not to become an e-commerce expert.
So yeah, we needed some help selling our merch and getting our store up and running. another sale.
Shopify is a commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide.
No matter if you are a garage entrepreneur or a big business, Shopify is the only tool you need to start and grow your business without the struggle.
With Shopify single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere, giving you the insights you need wherever you are. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/sonoro to take your business to the next level today.
Shopify.com/sonoro.
Seems to me that you were very conscious and very strategic about your career, like that you had it almost like planned. Tell us about you and how did you manage to be where you are?
I think it's a journey, and I think we have to enjoy it and we have to have fun. And if you're not enjoying it, if you're not having fun, whatever that fun means, to me, it's being challenged. To me, it's like feeling a strong sense of belonging and a strong sense of purpose. Obviously, all of this sounds like, oh my God, she has it figured out. It comes with age. It wasn't as intentional when I was younger, Claudia. I just knew kind of like the space where I wanted, and I knew that I wanted to achieve or at least aspire for something very high in the corporate world. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know necessarily how. At some point, it became a lot more intentional, and I was able to make more intentional choices. I do think that having a focus, or at least having an end goal, thinking about it, allow yourself to think, like, what could it look like? What could I aspire to be? I think helps keep you focused and, like, eyes on the prize. Because it's not going to be an easy road. Believe me, there are moments that we've all had where I'm like, I'm going to, like, quit tomorrow. This is the most, I don't know, disturbing, frustrating experience I've ever had. But if you keep your eyes on the goal and you're like, wait, why am I doing this? Go back to why am I doing this? Take a breather. I think that goal, that focus helps us kind of like align. And then it's like all of this merges. And then the people that support you know what you're striving for. They'll help you as well. Your mentors will guide you. Then you have sponsors. It just coalesces.
I want to share with you one thing, guys. I went to the World Economic Forum in Davos, and this year I had the opportunity to talk precisely about MBAs and higher education with two people, the president of Harvard Business School and the president of the University of Chicago. And they were both very, very, not even excited, really focused on getting more Hispanics, particularly Latinas from the U.S. And they were mentioning that not a lot of Latinas access the incredible opportunities that there are for financial aid, for scholarship, for application. It's almost like we self-censor because we are so aware of how much debt and how much investment that means that we're like self-imposing non-application without really exploring the opportunities that are out there.
I agree. And I think that that is something that we can definitely think about how to help solve, because an MBA is a great opportunity. And in the U.S., there are many different vehicles to help you fund and pay for an MBA so that it's not a debt that you're going to have for all of your life. So the plan of how to apply to an MBA, how to access higher education, and then how to pay for it has to be a well thought out one, but one that we probably need to better communicate that there are many different options and that it's very viable and that we do need Latinas to apply more.
Yeah, there's a lot. We will gather resources and share them with our audience, but there's a lot of scholarships that you can get access to that can pay part or the full tuition,
even
sometimes living expenses. Then whatever is left, you can get a loan. And I think we have to think about MBA loans or student loans differently than college student loans, because the salary that you're going to make after doing an MBA is going to really be a big step up from where you are. I don't have the data to say that you're for sure going to pay back your debt, but I feel strongly that you will.
No, but the return on investment has been proven to be higher and to be a much safer investment.
Absolutely. I'd like to talk about like Latinas in beauty. Overall, I know that we have an increasing purchasing power, 9% of the population, with 80% of the decisions of the purchasing power of the household, and that is $3.4 trillion a year. That is massive. If this would be the GDP, Latinas hold 80% of the 14% of the population. That means really we're responsible for 10% of the GDP of America in our decisions. Wow. And our decisions have been, our most favorite product that we bought 10 years ago was Mazola oil. Today, lipstick. How do Latinas understand beauty? What are the insights that you see?
So Latinas are a hugely important, relevant cohort within beauty. They over-index in spend in beauty overall compared to their Caucasian counterparts. Latinas, by and large, play broader and deeper in many more categories across beauty. So if you think about it and you think about an ideal, we call them beauty enthusiasts or an ideal kind of like beauty consumer, Latinas will basically, by and large, fit squarely in it. So there are things that you can think about. Think about the role of fragrance in our lives. Like, fragrance is a huge business. It's much, much bigger per capita in Latin countries than it is in, for example, in the U.S. And fragrance has been growing in the U.S. significantly, by and large, driven by the Latina consumption. You have many different fragrances throughout for different occasions. You spray more than just once a day.
Yeah.
I shared an insight in an interview about how, and I don't know if this was true for you guys, but for even like when I had my kids and when I had my children, scent is so important. Yeah. That it's either Colonia Baby Johnson's, mm-hmm, or like a fragrance. Like, it's super important. Like, from day one, you're lathering your kids in some kind of scent. So that just gives you an example of how ingrained all of these beauty categories are within Latina. So a beauty, it is a huge growth cohort and a huge area of focus. It is also very interesting the relationship that Latinas have with beauty and how it's a really honest and authentic relationship, and maybe a little bit more advanced than where the U.S. was. It's getting there, and I'll tell you why. When we grew up, you've probably heard the term being vanidosa, and this is really like vanity. If you translate it into English, it's vanity. And vanity has many negative connotations in English. However, in Spanish, and in the context that we've used it in all culture, is not a negative.
It's coqueta.
It's, yeah, coqueta. It's like it
takes confidence.
Confidence.
And you take care of yourself.
Exactly.
Like, you want your daughter to be
vanidosa
because she takes care of herself. She thinks that self-care is important. She, mm-hmm, cares about her appearance, and that's good and positive. So we grew up with a relationship with beauty about, if I put on makeup, it's not because I'm insecure. It's because I'm taking care of myself, and this is how I want to show up today, right? Mm-hmm. If I take care of my hair, it's not because I'm frivolous. It's because it's self-care, and this is how I get together, how I start my day. Through the pandemic, what happened in the general kind of like U.S. culture is the pandemic really cemented beauty in self-care. So now we're seeing the U.S. population also have this very healthy relationship with beauty. Mm-hmm. And in that, Latinas are becoming a huge focus, wow, a huge trend-setting, yeah, cohort. Through culture, through pop culture, through music. Think about like Karol G and like how Karol G is right now establishing a really feminine yet kind of like grunge, or not grunge, but urban approach, mm-hmm, to beauty and to trend and look. So we're seeing Latina influence everywhere.
But also you were talking about how beauty is transmitted through your parents,
yes,
and how that creates like brand loyalty in a very different,
yes,
way.
I think we can each talk about what was our first introduction with beauty, and by and large, it comes through your mother. And it's a beautiful insight, and it's a beautiful process. If you think about it, it's either put on, I do a very Colombian thing that is like putting on moisturizer every single day right after you take a shower. And, mm-hmm, like, that's like from day one. And like, I see it how I ask my daughter, like, ya te echaste crema, like every, yeah, single day. So that is how we kind of like breed the relationship with beauty. I remember going into my mom's eye makeup or makeup drawer and like playing with her palettes and all of that. Through them, we learn like what kinds of brands they like, what mm-hmm, what product attributes they're looking for, like where do they shop. So we also see a very strong sense of loyalty to brands. to some of these brands that are epitomous to beauty in the U.S., like a Clinique, Lancôme, Estee Lauder, like Dior, that are brands that have always signified beauty. There's a strong affinity and strong loyalty from the Latin consumer, Latinas consumer in the U.S. for those brands.
I just had a moment. I used my mom's brands. Yes. I was like,
think about hair. Que las das. Like,
totally. I use my mom's brands.
Right?
Totally. But you know what? There's one more piece about the physical aspect of Latinas, and I think that this is a great way to get into identity. The perception of Latinas, very unfortunately, is very much associated with our physical attributes, denying any other attribute of Latinas. So we're seen as sexy, loud, beautiful, vanidosas, but never as intelligent decision makers, leaders. Mm-hmm. And so by definition, if you're not conscious on the biases that you have of Latinas, then we will be put into corporations in roles where our physical beauty plays a role. The receptionist, the people that are like showing up and so on. I think that that's where it plays a down role, where we have to be conscious that we can be feminine when we come to work. We can be beautiful, but that there's a stereotype, a bias about us. So we have to play carefully about it and making sure that people don't only see that and we don't accentuate the stereotype.
I personally find it super empowering to come into a meeting room fully dolled up in a dress with ruffles, right? Like a very feminine dress. And then just be probably the strongest contributor at that table with data, knowing my business cold, with insights. Mm-hmm. I find it super empowering to kind of like break that stereotype. And I think that is where I see my authenticity coming through and that I found that way to put the two together. But I agree with you, Claudia. For me, it's more important that people think I'm smart than they think I'm funny or pretty or like that comes like in second. Yeah. I always try to come to the table of the business table with knowing that I'm good at what I do, that I bring a lot of value, that I can create value for a company, that I'm insightful. And then on top of that, this is just how I like to look and like how I like to dress. But I find that a source of power, and I've turned that into kind of like one of my maybe superpowers.
I'd like to know how being a Latina has helped you. What elements of your identity and Latinidad you can pinpoint and say, like, because I'm a Latina, even if it's a bias or a stereotype, I was able to, we're discovering from accentism to biculturalism, bilingualism, but also to more intelligent decisions. So what else were
I'll tell you another one that I love. I think it's not only relevant to Colombians. I think it's for many other countries. I obviously equate it to being Colombiana, which is like what I'm first and foremost, and it is optimism. I believe optimism is key in being a good leader. I believe optimism is key in business and in life. And I do think that my culture tends to be very optimistic. If you think about it, we're kind of like put in very hard situations. Our countries are all very facing like different types of social or economic crises, right? Hyperinflation, economic downturns, I don't know, at Colombia, the war on drugs, the guerrillas. And you have to have a certain positive attitude to get through it and to not be bogged down as a country. And like, I feel my country at least is like the little engine that could, like everything is falling apart, but yet we're there and we're still
a
growing economy.
Music.
Exactly. And then you put a little music and you turn it around. So optimism, I think, would be the one. I think humor translating into not taking yourself too seriously and being self-deprecating, because that gives you perspective as well. Like that helps not have an ego that overtakes your decision-making. And I think humor is also a big part of it. And then it's kind of like combined with this, but resilience, like you knowing that and the conviction that you can get through these things somehow. And there are many sayings about mañana será mejor, or like no hay mal que dure 100 años. Like and that's resilience, right?
Yeah. Resilience and grit. Exactly. All of the things that you mentioned were that.
Were there any moments in your life or people in your life that you feel like you wouldn't be where you are if they weren't there or those moments hadn't happened.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that recognition of those moments and how pivotal they're in your life is very, very valuable. At one of my companies, there was a very senior person in HR who at some point told me he thought I was starting to get lost in the mix. And he thought I had incredible potential. And that although I was in, he was in HR, and it probably was not in the best interest of the company for him to tell me this. He said, if you don't get X or Y here in this time frame, you need to go out and get this type of role. Wow. Because you're that good, and I cannot have you kind of like waste your potential here. And sometimes these things happen in companies. And that really taught me to take also ownership of my career and acknowledge they don't all work out. Not all places work out, not all jobs work out. So when you start noticing that, like, you have options and go look for them. Yeah. And I'm always very grateful for him. And then my husband, we started talking about partnership at the beginning, and my husband has always been a fabulous partner. He also pursued an MBA. He did it after I was. And I remember some of my favorite moments with him were when he was a student at the MBA and I was already working at McKinsey, and we would have some of his school events. I would go there, and obviously I was the wife. Mm-hmm. And people immediately assumed that I was the wife, just like in the US for 2 years with him, having babies and like hanging around, which, okay, it's just don't assume, like, that's an option, right? Yeah. And he would stand there, and he told me that this was his favorite thing to do, is to just stand there and wait for people to ask me questions. And then suddenly they realized, oh, she also did an MBA, and she's working at McKinsey, and actually that they wanted my job, and that they needed to talk to me, and that he loved that moment when the conversation turned around, the flip the script, and he watched it. And I never knew that he was looking at that, and that he was observing that moment, and that he was proud of that moment. So find a partner that supports you every day.
And that came from your parents, because you saw that. You saw that level of partnership.
And your grandparents, because your grandma was also professional.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. Okay.
This has been an incredible episode. I have learned so much, and I grew my admiration and respect for you, Maria Salcedo, from Alta.
Leading
a la Latina.
Hola, a la Latina listeners. Meet your financial partner in crime, Money Lion. Elevate your money game with top-notch tools, expert advice, and a community that gets it. Dive in at moneylion.com or download the MoneyLion app now. A la Latina is brought to you by MoneyLion and produced by Melka Media.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. I'm a small business owner, and I believe that this is a great tool for other small business owners. In small businesses, you need to create a team. And if you're starting by yourself, Constant Contact can be the team that you need. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by the 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.